Reading from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. When you find the scripture, Acts chapter 4, just hold it there, and we're going to read some scriptures as we go along. First of all, in the second chapter of Acts, the believers in the upper room had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues. All of them began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance, and those that had gathered in the city for the Feast of Pentecost, hearing them speak in the tongues of their own languages, said, "These do speak the wonderful works of God." I want to leave this in your mind tonight. The Holy Ghost always puts the spotlight on Jesus. Always. The Holy Ghost will not put the spotlight on man. There might be times when he directs him to do this or that, but the spotlight will be on Jesus. Then in the third chapter, it tells us of the amazing story of the lame man being healed at the gate of the temple, and as Peter and John were going to the house of God for a prayer meeting, and the Bible lets me to know that it was the power of the Holy Ghost in the lives of Peter and John that brought deliverance, that brought healing to this lame man. Then we come to the fourth chapter. We're told of the first persecution of the young church, that Jesus said, "I will build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And God, the Lord, had already begun to build the church, and Satan had already begun to try his best to tear it down. And this is the first recorded persecution time, but the last has not yet been written because Satan is still out there tonight, but Satan is defeated. We are victorious in Christ. In this fourth chapter we find that the young church was being persecuted and came about when Peter and John, because Peter and John were preaching about this man Jesus, whom Peter said that to the Jews, he said, "You have crucified him." And he goes on to let them to know that it was Joseph that buried him, but he's alive. He arose from the grave, and not only that, it's this resurrected Jesus that you have put to death and is now resurrected. It's him that healed this lame man in the temple gate. Needless to say, the leaders, the authorities there in Jerusalem were unhappy with the way things were going. They were trying to hush the news about Jesus, and the more they tried to put the hand on it, the more they began to expand. God's a big God. And so the Bible says in this situation that they were not happy, so they arrested the disciples, Peter and John, and put them in jail. And the next day, Peter and John were brought before the members of the Sanhedrin court, the high court of the land, and they were questioned and talked about, they were to answer about their preaching. And I want you to notice verse number 7 in the fourth chapter. Verse number 7. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?'" How have you brought about the healing of the lame man at the temple gate that has been a beggar all of his life? How did it happen? By what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, seized the opportunity and responded by pointing everything to Jesus, giving the Lord the glory. It's the Jesus of Nazareth that has healed this man. I thought God has, some people say, have told me, Brother Joseph, I just have the opportunity. I believe we've got opportunities all the time. I mean, the door has been open for us to share what God has done, and I'm grateful for what the Lord, how the Lord blesses and what He's done in our lives. But Peter responds by talking about the Lord. And then I want to read the verse number 13. In the fourth chapter. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I thought these two commercial fishermen might have been unlearned and uneducated. They might not have known very much about the things of this world. But there's one thing that I want us to understand. They had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and that made all the difference in the world. I believe that God can use a person with no education, but his glory, 1,000 times better than a man with a lot of education without God. The Holy Ghost made the difference in their lives as they were ministering, answering these authorities. And then years later, when writing to the Corinthian believers, Paul said, "But God hath chosen the foolish things," thinking about Peter and John, unlearned, they said, uneducated. "But God has chosen the foolish things," Paul said, "of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." God has chosen. And God's chosen us. Let me leave this with you tonight. We, if you're saved, you are chosen as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. We were saved in the Assemblies of God, and the theme song for the youth service, for the youth of the Assemblies of God, "We are Christ's ambassadors." And we were singing service after service with the youth, "We are Christ's ambassadors." And we tonight, I'm glad you don't have to be Assemblies of God, or Baptist, or Methodist, or Pentecostal, Holy. We as Christians are ambassadors for Christ. Thank God, thank God. And then listen to what Peter says, or what the Bible tells us. We are chosen to be lights in a dark world. And then when Peter was writing, and we all like this verse, "But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Brother, we are chosen by God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are a royal priesthood. That might not seem like very much to some people, but brother, there's royal blood flowing in our veins tonight. We are the children of the Most High God. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We've not only been covered by the blood, we are royalty tonight. Amen. Amen. We are the chosen of God. Let me read the 14th verse from that 4th chapter. "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them," speaking about the authorities, "beholding the man which was healed standing with them," with Peter and John, "they could say nothing against it." They were flabbergasted. They were amazed that the man who had been lame from his mother's birth had never been able to walk a step in his life, who is now known as the beggar at the temple gate. Everybody that passed by that way, they've seen him day after day, month after month, year after month, after year, there with his cup in his hand, begging alms that he might have bread to eat and somewhere to live. And now he's healed by the power of God, and he's standing with Peter and John, and the Bible says the authorities did not have, they don't know what to say. I want God to move in such a way that the world would be confounded. Amen. Hard to say anything against the healing power of Almighty God with the man that was a leper, that was a beggar, had never walked, standing there healed by the power of God. It's hard to say anything against healing if a man has just been healed. And the Bible says, after the council had decided to dismiss Peter and John and ask them to go outside for a while, and they were going to meet together and they're going to decide what to do with these men. Finally, they called Peter and John back and commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." I want you to see something here. I have two thoughts right here in the 23rd and 24th verses. The Bible says they lifted up their voice to God. They prayed. And rightfully so. They knew God to be omnipotent. They knew God to have all power. They knew God to be the creator of all things.
They knew that God could take care in the situation of persecution that has come against the church. And so they lifted up their voice in prayer because they knew that it was God that had destroyed the wicked in the days of Noah than the days of Lot and Abraham destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew that God had delivered the children of Israel by the hand of Moses out of Egyptian bondage. They knew that God had directed the stone that found its place in the forehead of Goliath the giant, that God was in it. They knew that God was the one that set the fire when Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. They knew that it was God that had sent John the Baptist as a forerunner, and they knew that it was God that had raised Jesus from the dead. Now, after this company of believers had heard how that their leaders, Peter and John, had been threatened no longer to preach or teach in the name of Jesus, commanding them they're not to do that anymore, they lifted up their voice to God. They prayed. They took their request to the Lord, their need to the Almighty. And I would like to just insert here, that is always a good thing to do. It's always wise to have the Lord to help you out. I jotted a statement down. You'll never go wrong by inviting the Lord in on the situation. Whatever you're going through, remember, He's the answer. There have been times in our lives, and yours as well, when there was a decision that we had to make about various things, and we had gone to various people, and I know you have as well. What do you think would be the best? And that's all right to go to each other, and we love each other. But did you know the best, when it's all said and done, we must go to Him. He has all the answers, and He is God. And He's able to do that which no other one can do. And so the Bible says, when the company of people, when Peter and John got out of jail and were threatened and told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, we don't want to hear that anymore. They went back to the people. They went back to the company. They went back to the church where the church was congregated together. And the Bible said when they heard what Peter and John said, they began to call on God. They began to lift up their voices into prayer, in prayer unto God. They began to pray. And I'm saying tonight, thank God for people that know how to pray. Thank God for people that have a desire to pray. And I want everyone to understand, our God hears. Every time we pray, He's heard. The Bible says that our prayers are bottled up in heaven, and the Lord is receiving them and He's keeping them as keepsakes. Amen. I've mentioned this before, but let me share it again. I was raised in a large family, and my dad was a barber, and he did the cutting of our hair. Rightfully so. But my mother wanted a girl when I came along. And so she did not have daddy to cut my hair when I was 1 year old, nor 2 years old, nor 3 years old, nor 4 years old. I was 5 years old when I had my first haircut. I had curls, brother. I've got pictures. I had curls, and when daddy decided it's finally time to make him a boy, and he cut my curls, mama was right there with a jar, gathering those curls and putting them in a jar. And years later, mama had my curls in a jar. I want you to know something. Our prayers have been ascended to God. He's kept them. And He answers. Don't ever feel like, tell me how many times you've requested prayer for your family. Maybe, I was going to say 100 times, maybe 200 times. And it doesn't make any difference. Every time we pray, He hears. And the Bible says this company of believers, when they heard that persecution has come and our leaders have been put in the jail and spent a night in jail, and now we've been threatened and told that you must not preach anymore in the name of Jesus, and they didn't know exactly what maybe would happen if they continued to preach about the name of the Lord and what He's doing and what He's done and what He will do. The Bible says they lifted up their voices in prayer. They went to God. And I'm saying tonight, whatever comes your way, whether it's persecution or difficulty or hardship or problems or whatever it might be, go to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a Savior, what a mighty God. That's why, and I jotted this down, I didn't want to forget it tonight. That's why our church has prayed. That's why we continue to pray. That God will somehow, His will be done concerning the leader for this church for the years to come. Praying earnestly. That word was in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Having earnest charity. God help us. We've been praying. You've been praying. You've been praying at home. We've been praying together here. God, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And so I want to leave you with us tonight. We know that God loves us. We know that He wants what is best for us. And we know that God does all things well. Keep on praying. God has heard. And God will answer. Hallelujah. Don't ever doubt it. God will answer. God's more concerned about the church than we are. Amen. That's why we prayed years ago. One of the charter members of our church, he's already gone on to glory. Her husband had died, and her family was not serving God, and she was not well, and she couldn't come to church. And she made a statement to us as we were visiting one time, and she said, I don't have anyone but God. And I thought, and I could understand what she was saying, but how about really, who do we need if we've got God? We need each other, and I don't want to belittle that, I don't want to make light of that, but did you know, if you've got God, that's something to rejoice about. You could be alone in the middle of the desert and no one within 100 miles, but if you've got God, amen, amen. Songwriter picked up his pen and wrote, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" And I ask myself a question, where would I want to go? In a time of need, in a time of problem, in a time of difficulty, where would I want to go but to the Lord? He's the answer. When the doctor told us that Mike had a brain tumor, and we went back to the church and prayed, and we came together and prayed, seeking God. God had not spoken yet to tell us that He would heal him. We called Old Roberts Prayer Tower in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They had a prayer group there 24 hours around the clock. Somebody to pray when you called in. And in that day back then, in that year, 1960, 52 years ago, that God was doing great things. And I know God still does tonight, but seemed like God was moving and God was healing. And we called them and told them the situation. But we didn't tell everybody else. We had them to pray. And we went to God, and God spoke to us in a message in tongues and interpretation, saying, "I have heard your prayer. I will heal your son. If you trust me, listen closely. Where can I go but to the Lord?" He has the answer. Thank God for prayer warriors. Amen. Thank God for people that we can pray, that we can call upon to pray for us. I've mentioned this before. When we started the first church in Sierra Vista, Arizona, our early days of our ministry, and never had preached before, rented a little building and started a church, and God began to bless, and God began to move, and God began to heal. There were miracle healings. Another man by the name of Jones had started the Assemblies of God Church in the same town, about the same time. We were both working in the post office. We were close friends, and one day, Virgil Jones called me and said, "Glenn, would you and your wife come over?" He lived in a house trailer. So did we. "Can you come over?" He said, "Unless God touches me, I don't think I'm going to live." He had strep throat in such a manner that it seemed like it was just taking him out. "Would you come over and pray?" Oftentimes, preachers don't call on someone else of another denomination because they feel like, "Well, I'll stick with my own." Did you know, if you're saved, you're one of God's children. My wife and I went over. They had one little son, and we had one son. We went over, and he was sitting there on the couch, and he was, I wouldn't say pitiful, but it was next thing to it. He didn't look well. Scripture was just about, it was serious. And he was mentioning, he said, "Glenn, unless God does something," and we prayed and listened closely, not because of my wife and I, but because of him. God came on the scene
and God healed the sins of God, Pastor, as we prayed together. And sometime later, I moved to Glendale, and he moved to Tucson, started the church called Victory Assemblies of God, and became a large church in Tucson, and later on, he was elected as the presbyter, the state presbyter of the Assemblies of God in Phoenix. And the last time I've heard of him, he was one of the leaders there, Virgil Jones, in Arizona. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the church that day when Peter and John came back to the church and told them what happened, they began to lift up their voice to God. People, God hears when we pray. He's good to us. Keep on praying. Those of you that have loved ones unsaved, those of you that are going through a difficult time, keep on praying. Keep on trusting God. But there's another part of that verse that I read in the 24th verse. And when they heard what Peter and John had said and what the authorities had said, they lifted up their voice to God. And the last part says, with one accord, they were determined to be God's witnesses. And they lifted up their voices with one accord unto God. I jotted as I was praying and preparing. I see no hint of despair. I see no despondency at all. I see no fear gripping their hearts. No anxiety at all because of being threatened. They had no thoughts of compromising. They had no thoughts of giving up. They had no thoughts of going back. They cried out to God in one accord. And brother, there's power in unity. Let me say that again. When a people are united, that's power. I am not a historian, but I did love history a long time ago when I was in school. But I remember that our forefathers, when they were bringing things together and they were preparing the Constitution or a Declaration of Independence and the rest. And I'm glad that they said something like this. We will call it the United States of America. Unity. Not Virginia and then North Carolina and then West Virginia and everything separate and having nothing to do with. We're united. And I'm glad in the church tonight there's unity. We are praying in one accord for God's will. Not a one of us that I know of anywhere saying, I want it this way or I want that. We want God's will. Is that the way it is with you? If it is, say amen. We want God's will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Bible said they prayed in one accord. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. They were in one accord and were determined to be everything that God would have them to be. I read something in a commentary that I did not know, but 12 times in the New Testament, the phrase one accord is recorded. 11 times in the book of Acts, the people were in one accord, it is said. I'm going to mention 3 or 4. Go with me to the first chapter. I'm not going to turn there. In the first chapter of Acts, the 14th verse, we read that during the days when the believers were waiting upon the Lord, when they were turning in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, for the covenant to come, the Holy Ghost to come, and fill their lives, the Bible says they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. It doesn't surprise me that the Lord filled them. They were in one accord while they were tarrying. When you come to the second chapter, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place and in one accord. Praying and believing and seeking God. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And cloven and tongues came and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave us. What do you say, preacher? If we were in one accord and stay in one accord, anything can happen. Thank God, thank God. In the second chapter, and the 46th verse, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they continued with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house,
They didn't receive a blessing and then say, I've got it all, and sit down and wait for their to be caught up in the rapture. They continued in breaking bread. They continued in prayer. They continued in supplications. They continued in waiting upon God. They were in one accord when they were tarrying. They were in one accord in the second chapter when they received. And now some days and weeks later, they're still in one accord, going to the house of God, fellowshipping together, breaking bread together, enjoying one another. Brother, this thing doesn't get old.
It's forever new. Then we come to the fourth chapter that I've just read. How that they lifted up their voices unto God in one accord. That's four times that I've mentioned out of the 11 in the book of Acts. In one accord. Thank you, church. I was making a list. I haven't checked it out. I haven't gone to the records, but we have some sitting here tonight that have been a part of this church ever since the first service. You've heard me preach a lot of times, maybe a lot of times the same sermon. And if you don't know it's the same sermon, that's all right. And we've got some that's been here 30 years. Some 25 years and some 20 years. Last Sunday, Brother James was showing me a bulletin that we wrote in 1990? That your daddy was here? Whenever it was. And we had in the bulletin how that Brother Delbert Weaver, whatever, Fred and James' dad was in the service. And we fell in love with him, holiness folks. And then some other things that they brought up, and they had playing a tape of a sermon that was preached way back yonder, because Fred's been in the church 22 years, and it's many of you have been a long time, folks. Thank you for being who you are. And I mean that out of my heart. Thank you for being who you are. My wife has asked several times recently, honey, when we get a new pastor, what are you going to do? I'm going to get old. If the Lord tarries. Another 20 years. But I tell you what I've told others. And I don't have a jealous bit in me. I'm praying for God to give us His man. And I'll do everything I can. As long as I can. As long as the Lord leaves me here. To try my best to win the lost. And see the kingdom of God built. I'll help the preacher, and we're going to believe that it's God's man. I like what Tom said last Wednesday night, that we'll all be on the same page and we'll all know that it's God. Do you believe it can be that way? Yes. God is big and God is able. Hallelujah. I didn't have any of this in mind when I was beginning to take care of and try to get the sermon together yesterday and the day before yesterday. But I'm glad tonight that I can say this out of my heart, thank God for the unity of the people. I believe every family here is our desire for the will of the Lord to be done. Hallelujah. And if God has His way, brother, it's going to be just right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a mighty God, what a blessed Redeemer. They lifted up their voice to God in one accord. And when they prayed, the Bible says, and I'm going to read the next verse in the fourth chapter. Let me read the 29 and 30. And now, Lord, they're continuing their prayer. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy service that with all boldness they may speak with Thy word. Thou leadest that they might continue to speak the word with boldness, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. They were praying, and they were in one accord, and they were saying, God, will you stretch out your hand and touch our leaders and our preachers and our evangelists and our teachers and use them for Thy glory, that there might be healings and there might be miracles and there might be signs and there might be wonders. Amen. I believe that God is still God. I'm praying the same way that company prayed, God, stretch forth your hand that there might be, where there might be boldness to stand up in this last hour for the glory of God and see the word go forth. Thank God. Let me leave one other thought here.
This is the first mention of the young church being persecuted. But I have read church history from different writers, various writers, portions of it here, portions of it there. Did you know what I found? That when the church is persecuted the most is when the church is the purest and the boldest.
Let me say that again. You might say, well, Brother Jones, that don't seem to fit.
When a church is going through the fire, when there's persecution around about, the church is its purest and its boldest at that time. No one would be foolish enough to fake it or testifying to loving God if they knew that it cost their life. They want to have the goods. And I say this tonight in an embarrassing thought. To me, America has had the gospel, and God has blessed us abundantly over the years, but tonight, the purest church, as far as I know anywhere, the purest church is the underground church in China. Cost them lives by the thousands. Church has been persecuted. Church was persecuted in Russia. Bibles burned and Christians put to death and sent to Siberia to work in the salt mines. The church has been persecuted in China. The church tonight is being persecuted in the Muslim nations in Islam. Churches are being burned down in Egypt and in Iraq and various places because they want the Islam religion to rule the world. Listen, Christians are being persecuted, but out of the persecution, people really have the goods. Pure, holy, bold. Read about the Roman government as they persecuted the church in the early years, how that the people found themselves in the catacombs of Rome, and they lived in the catacombs and on the walls of the catacombs and those and the tunnels and whatever. They had inscribed scriptures and testimonies how that even though they were starving to death, they were giving God the glory. Read about the man by the name of Bunyan. Was it his name, Bunyan, that wrote the Pilgrim's Progress? They wrote the Pilgrim's Progress in the jailhouse in Bedford, England. In jail! And he wrote on the walls that wonderful story of the Pilgrim's Progress, and it's been taught and preached and told about around the world for now all these years. Listen, if you will, he was being persecuted, but out of persecution came something good. The church was being persecuted, and they're praying and lifting up their voices in one accord unto God, saying, Lord, bless our leaders, anoint our leaders, that they might be used of thee. And then the very first verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And when they had prayed, I went to different writers. I ended up with Matthew Henry. I wanted to see what he wrote about and when they had prayed. And Matthew Henry said, he believed that they prayed in succession. One prayed, and then another prayed, and then another prayed, and then another prayed. I do not know, but somehow I doubt it. I believe they had a Pentecostal prayer meeting. And I believe as they began to pray and get a hold of God, the Bible says, and the place was shaken where they were assembled. Why? Why would God shake the house where they were assembled, praying that God give us boldness? Give us boldness, anoint us afresh and anew. And our leaders bless them, God. And God shook the house. And I'm telling you what I believe God shook the house and let them know I'm all powerful. I'm God. You want healing? I'm God. I can do it. You want miracles? I'm God. I'm the miracle worker. You want signs and wonders? I'm God. I will give you signs and wonders. And he shook the place where they were assembled together and they were praying. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen closely. I believe everyone there had already been filled with the Holy Ghost, probably. Many of them had been in the upper room in the second chapter. And now they're saying, God, fill us
And they filled him with their feet, and the Lord filled them again with the Holy Ghost. They were in one accord, and they were praying, and saying, God, give us boldness and courage that we'll get the job done. And when they prayed such a prayer, God shook the house, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm leaving this with you tonight. They had a refreshing, they had a refreshing and a renewing, and the Holy Ghost anointing them, and God blessed their lives. Listen closely. It's not enough for last year. We need tonight. Amen. God, you're good. You're good. And I personally believe, and I'm going to close, I personally believe that God has promised just that. Joyce was speaking this last week. It was the second service, February 1976. February, second service. God spoke, message in tongues, interpretation. Power of God was real. Anointing of God was real. God spoke and said, as we were praying for revival, that He had called us aside for a purpose. Called us aside for a purpose. Not to be like everyone else, but for a purpose to give a revival. We have had good services and God is blessed. Sister Jan McNair yesterday was talking about some of the good times that we enjoyed together. They were wonderful, but listen, God still got something. God still got something. Hallelujah. And they gathered together in that place where they were assembled together. And suddenly the house was shaken where they were assembled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I finished. Come to the piano, honey. Listen. I'm praying tonight, God, shake us again. God, shake us again. God, shake America. God, shake the church. God, shake us. And then let the rest of that verse be a reality as well. And the house was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God, it's the Holy Ghost that gets the job done. Peter and John would have never made it without the power of God working in their lives. They would have never made it. They'd have been threatened and went on without God, without the Holy Ghost. They'd have never been able to accomplish it. God, we need you tonight. You've been so good to us. We love you, we love you, we love you. Keep that part in mind. God's power was manifest. He will